Amen. So we've on a long journey of the overflow, and we looked at all the enemy's strategy to block us up, and we're coming to wrestling time. Wrestling time. That season of contestation. That way you know, sort of with your Noah, that you know, yes, it comes from God, but it doesn't feel like it's working. And it's become personalized. And it's very easy for us to feel, well, if they weren't there, or if this happened, then I'll be in a different place. And God began to speak to me at the beginning of a couple of months ago, and he said, Rachel, it's wrestling time. And I thought, okay. And then he went on to say, it's a season of agitation. How many of you feel agitated? It's a season of agitation, things being stirred, things being moved, manipulated. It's a season of agitation. It's a season of frustration. It's where you feel things are being contained. You think, why can't I get out? Why can't it grow? What is it? And it's a wrestling. Why? Because of to shift. And I feel that God is almost, it's like he's coming at us. Give me a hand here, this way. And it's like he wants some lean back. How much does it matter to you, Hamish? Come on, then. Come on, give it to me. You're the gentle giant, but you need to push me over now and say, actually, I'm coming through. Because there's been a time when we've sort of played at it, but actually God is wanting to heighten that ability. No, this is my time. This is my season. This is my territory. It's now. And there's something that in this season of change, which I've been talking about, prophesying, we know there's a shift. How many of you know, not because I've said it, but you know, and it's been all around. You know there's a shift. You know there's a change. You've had it, something new. But there's almost this sense in which we have waited, and there's a prophetic almost laziness. Well, let it come to me. And I feel that God is also saying, well, make it happen with me. Come on, give me some lean back. Give me some irritation. And so there's some frustration, irritation of the scripture. I haven't got time to go back. But you think about how many times in scripture God positions his men and women until finally they can't help themselves and they go. And so God said to me, Rachel, this is a season of agitation, frustration, wrestling, because it is a time of shift. And then he said to me, and it is a time of opportunity. There are many open doors, but it is going to require that my people develop a new skill and a new attitude of tenacity. It's a season of wrestling because there is an opportunity that won't be handed to you and won't be coming to you, but you need to step into with a confidence it's mine. How many of you know that's a different skill set? You see, we usually react against this idea of wrestling because we prefer the image of God caring for us, the God image of God directing us, the image of God tutoring us and steering us, and we want God to work on our behalf. And there are times when he does, but there are also other times when he says, come to me. And he's now asking us, will you engage? Come on, Jacob, man up. Come find me. I'm waiting to wrestle with you. And it's actually, why did God need to Jacob with Jessel? To prove he's stronger? No. To give him a limp? No. It was to awaken something in him. This matters to me. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Certain things happen in your life that actually say, no, this matters to me. It wakes something up in you. It's not actually about the wrestling with God or the spiritual thing. It actually is paradigm, and it's focusing the real appetite and hunger. What are you really hungry for? What really matters to you? God wants to ignite some of the fuses that have got a bit generalized, and it's like something wakes up. No, this is worth fighting for. Front foot forward. I'm ready to. Do you get what I'm saying? And so these atmospheres of shift, thing, change, uncomfortable. What God's doing is provoking hunger. But not just, I feel a bit hungry. It's like, I need steak and I need it medium rare and I want the best Aberdeen off the farm. It's like he's really narrowing it down to, what do you want? Wrestle with me. What matters to you? It matters that some of the children get out. I am so horrified at the quick movement of the whole agenda of gender agenda. Horrified by it. How? There should be something in us that's going, whoa, it's enough. I've been doing many big girl interviews and just being there, right in there with it all, with all sorts of people where the interviewer and everyone else on the panel, Christians and non-Christians, are like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And somehow they found, and credit to them, they went back and found an article that Gordon and, well, I had written, but when Gordon and I were here in Watford for the Daily Mail and Female talking about marriage and that we believe virginity was a thing. So they dug this all up. So I had this panel all against me about, well, you are, it was, I had half an hour. It was a half an hour panel. God, Holy Spirit said to me, the first 5 minutes will be theirs, the last 5 minutes will be theirs, there'll be 20 minutes to input. You are to be silent for 12. I will speak to you at 12 minutes, tell you what to do. You're to think about it for 3 until 4:15, and then you will be asked a question, then you're to speak. That was hard, because the rubbish they were saying, and they went for me. We read this article about virginity and marriage and da-da-da-da-da. I expect you're the one, I mean, I'm sorry, but the interview was right out. I expect you're one of these girls that believe just the missionary position works. You won't experiment, and you're boring and da-da-da. I mean, they're full on, and we're talking, and they're going on about all their sexual stuff, sexual experience, they're talking about straight. They ask me straight, you know, well, are you only straight? How do you know you're straight? Have you ever tried it gay? And so we're having, you know, we're full on, full stuff in canon, this was actually. Well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. And so we're going on and where it's full on. And so then I'm like, oh, this is an interview, yeah. Radio stuff going on. Full on. Everyone against me. So I'm watching the clock. I said, dear Jesus, come on, we've got to win. We've got to win. There has to be something that is going to draw this around. There has to be something that breaks this bond. There has to be something that will break this rock into pieces. Come on, Lord, give me. So we get to 12 minutes past. And I think, what is it, God? And he said to me, you need to, the whole summers is wrong. They are saying sex is about sexual satisfaction, sexual experience. You know it's about sexual satisfaction. Think about it. So I'm thinking sexual experience, sexual satisfaction. I mean, they've literally gone into every confuted sort of way. So then they asked me another question. I said, hang on a minute. You've grilled me, fried me, chopped me, and provoked me. Now it's my turn to ask a question. You seem to have all the questions and you're all against me, but I've got one for you. You have made a massive assumption that everyone's desire for sex will be satisfied by sexual experience. But I've got a question for you. You made fun of me because I was a virgin when I was married. You made fun of me that I'm still married after 39 years. And you made fun that my sex life must only be missionary position, etc., etc. You have no idea, but I've got something I'm sure you haven't got, and I want you to look me in the eyes and answer me as I've answered you. Can you honestly say, for all your sexual experience, you have sexual satisfaction? Boom. It was end of interview, virtue. The person who was interviewing me was so shocked, he just welled up with tears, and I began to prod. So I had the last, exactly as Holy Spirit says, 7 minutes to just talk and say, well, what is sex really about? You might say I'm just a prude and thing, but you see, my Bible crafted sex, and sex was given for this, and it's for intimacy, relationship. We are now breeding a generation that doesn't even know how to have a conversation. We are so on social media, etc. No intimacy. We're totally dysfunctional, so that when we have communication clashes, we don't know how to carry on. We have no remit now. So I watch it in Oxford all the time. People who are so emotionally dysfunctional, they don't know how to progress a conversation adequately to create any level of intimacy. And at the end of it, They pretty well looked and said, I don't know, but you see, it's wrestling time. What matters to you? And I really do believe that we can get overwhelmed or we can overcome. And we need to actually let things begin to trigger. No, this generation matters too much. I ask you, Holy Spirit, we won't all be on radios or TV or in the communicate spaces, but I believe we all need to actually let something like that fuse and begin to ask Holy Spirit, and we can supply each other. I might not be the one always to speak, but everyone I know who speaks or has communication, I just say, there's a way for you to speak in schools, in training. It's a brilliant, I can say that because I didn't think about it, Holy Spirit, what a brilliant way. Is sex about sexual experience or sexual satisfaction? What do you want? Ask any kid that. Okay, can I tell you a way of satisfaction rather than experience? It changes everything. Changes the game plan, changes the conversation. You see, what matters to you? Because I believe we've got to see that we're the head and not the tail. Yeah. And that the Holy Spirit is still, you know, glory. For from you are all things and to you are all things. You are glorious. Yes. He has got an answer for things that look horribly wrong. It's wrestling season. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our problem is we often do. Most of us personalize battles. I do it, you do it. As soon as something begins to feel intense, we're looking for the reason, not the source. We personalize it. It's normal. And God is really asking us, come on, church, fight the right battles. Because you see, if we're fighting against people, we get exhausted because we're not given spiritual strength to fight people. We're given spiritual strength to fight the demonic. So once we start engaging with people, we're exhausted, overwhelmed, tired. And you see, God says, if we respond naturally, we will fight with our thoughts, fight with our emotions, fight with people, fight the situations, fight the injustices, and then we end up wounded, frustrated, isolated, defeated. We're not called to fight the circumstances. We're called to fight the powers. Ephesians 6:12 in the Message puts it this way. This is no afternoon athletic contest, which we'll walk away from and forget in a few minutes. No, this is for keeps. This is life or death. This is finish against the struggle against the devil and all his angels. This is a real physical struggle contest, but it's a spiritual one. And we need to engage. Five areas very quickly where I feel that God is really asking us to grow up and learn to wrestle. The mind and thought life. Deal with that stinking thinking. Those thought patterns that get us down a vortex. It's like, come on, this matters to you. Keep my mind. My mind will be reformed. What are those helter-skelters? It's like, no, I'm going to fight for this clear mind. No, in Jesus' name, it's enough now. Two, character integrity. The battle zones, I mean, Joseph knew it, bless his heart, integrous, but the enemy went for him, stripped him, he got put in jail for 2 years. For supposedly raping a leader's wife, but he never went near her. His name was never necessarily cleared. It never shows that. He might have still lived with it for the rest of his life. But he learned to fight the right battle. And he didn't go down a victim mentality. It's not fair. He actually upgraded and became top in all that he did. He still excelled. That is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. Another area called destiny, faith, endurance, authority, power. You could preach every one of those. We've got teachers here. You think about it. But there are wrestling zones, there are struggles, there are frustration zones. They're where God is pressing in on you and atmospheres will press on you. But what's going to come up? Why the wrestling? Because it's the day of the open doors. What does an open door give you? An opportunity. I believe that we are living in a time of opportunity like we've never had before. I really do. There's all sorts of opportunities. God said to me a while back, he said, 2017, he said, this will be a year of breakthrough, but none of the breakthroughs will profit you unless you learn to recognize them, seize the opportunity, and then walk through the open doors created by the breakthrough. What do I mean like that? Let's give you a very simple question. Someone could come into a house, break open a vault, and the vault is completely open with all the jewels, everything left there. There's been a breakthrough, but that is not going to profit anyone unless someone walks in, sees the opportunity of the open vault, think there's a lot of money and jewels there, let's have it. And I believe that we have used that word, there's a breakthrough, there's a breakthrough, there's a breakthrough. But breakthrough on its own is pretty irrelevant. Because if there's a breakthrough, but then you don't activate the season of opportunity created by the breakthrough, why have the breakthrough? So what are you breaking through? Something's broken through in the heavens. We really feel there's been a breakthrough. Okay, what was the breakthrough? What is now accessible because of the breakthrough? What does that give to you in terms of opportunity? And how are you now strategizing to walk into that open door and take hold of the opportunity that is now open to you because you've got a breakthrough? So, Revelation 4, 1 to 2. And after this, I looked. I just felt for many of you there's been a lot of this. And after this, I looked. And there before me was standing open a door in heaven. And the verse I heard was speaking like a trumpet. It's wake up time. Trumpets often announce new seasons, shifts in the heavens. You see, trumpets, when a trumpet sounds, it's like, wake up, different season. It's not the Song of Songs, like it's not the rustling in the tops of trees. This is trumpet. And after this, Omer season, Alpha, Omega, end of season. After this season, an Alpha season was announced. Trumpet, new day. New open doors. So what does that mean? That even things that have been closed to you for a long time are now open to you because it's a different shift, a different paradigm, a different season, because some of the blockages are now open and you can access what you couldn't access before. So you have to shift your mentality. And the Holy Spirit said, come up here. Move your position. Move your perspective. Come up, come out, come away. There's the same with Abraham. If you remember, he was, is it Genesis 15? He was in the tent, tent mentality, in the tent. And God came in and says, Abraham, come out here. Look up, behold the stars. Come out of tent mentality. Many of us have got shut into a mentality of a system for a long time. We're living in the tent. Come out, head up, count the stars. Stars usually mean blessing in Scripture, often, very much. In other words, stop counting everything that's gone wrong. Start counting everything that's gone right. You'll be amazed at actually how God has been to you. Change your perspective. Come out. Get out of Eeyore mentality. Out the tent. Stand up. Look up. Count the stars. Whoa, God. Now get on with it. That's a Rachel version. At once, I was in the Spirit. And there before was the throne, and I saw him sitting on it. So what is this season about? Perspective of God. He's saying, come up here, which means you have to disconnect, reconnect. Come up here. The door is open. And then this was really interesting. It's a bit random, but I just felt God say this. God says, I want to break the fear of heights. He said, I want to break the fear of heights. And seriously, at the end, if other, those of you in the room, Helen and others, remember, I believe that both naturally and spiritually. I believe that there are people who have risked and gone up to the high places, been in the mountain, and actually you've got frightened. But God wants to break the fear of heights. And he said, I will teach you to scale the walls. And I will give you a new perspective. For you will be watchmen on the walls. And you will climb those walls. For I'm training your fingers for battle. For this is a day of opportunities. And you need to ask me, show me where these doors are. They are standing open at this time. And they will be suddenly requiring an immediate response from you. And you need to be ready. Hence the wrestling to develop your muscle strength and your faith and your perspective so you're ready to go. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm teaching this very prophetically because you are a prophetic house. Other people, teachers, I'm giving you the notes in the sense. You could most be teachers for about the next 6 to 9 months if you come in detailed and unpack. What does that mean? Come up here, open doors. I really feel God wants you to understand how to handle open door season. We're usually not very good at it. But I really feel God's opening doors for you. There was that prophetic word about inheritances. There's an open door for you to lay hold of inheritance that's been stolen for you. No more. Nothing will be robbed. Nothing will be stolen. I decree it in Jesus' name. So there's something we actually actively need to do to build the pathway to legislate it. There's a doorway. I was going through this wrestling season, living in Oxford. We have something called Oxcat. We then had on our streets 19 people who were all arrested and taken to the Old Bailey for sex trafficking. We then had a further 5. We then had a further 7. We had quite an influence through Oxford to then come through the church to really see the sex trafficking stopped and stuff. I haven't got time to go all within what was going. And in the middle of this, I go to Australia. I'm sitting with a woman called Margaret Stunt. And she talks to me. She said, there's a girl called Sharon Easton I need you to meet. I have been her spiritual mother. I feel it's come to an end of a season. And I just felt God say that when I meet you, you're to take this on. So I'm saying, right, I love Margaret's pieces. I said, okay. At the same time, Helen is taking my appointment, which I had forgotten and messed up because I was in Australia. So Helen had gone down to Luton, to Urban Saints, to do their prayer and ministry day with all their different volunteers. And one of the people who comes in there happens to be a woman called Sharon Easton. Helen ends up meeting Sharon Easton, sitting talking about Moldova and how she just needs help, and said, everything you said is so my heartbeat. I'd love you to partner with me. So I'm texting Helen from Sydney, Australia, saying, we need to find Sharon Easton, pray about it. She says, I don't. She's sitting right here. Absolutely. God has placed before you an open door. It's not rocket science at that point. So then we go to Moldova. I did not even know where Moldova is. For those of you like me, there it is. It's the little green place between Romania and Ukraine. Tiny, 4.2 to 4.8 million people. The green bit, Chisinau. Romania, big brown bit, huge yellow bit, tiny bit. Like me, I had no idea. As soon as I landed there, I've been in this place of contestation with all this sex trafficking, wondering what I'd do. Didn't know if it was to be in Oxford. We land there and then take us on a journey. With Sharon, we're looking at this land. She said, I need somewhere to build a home of refuge for sex trafficked girls. These girls, or girls that they would like to be sex trafficked, these girls are between the age of 12 to 23. Many of them have been abused and used, often in drunken parties. Mostly too much information for you, certainly was for me, but what I began to understand is this is how they actually fuel some of the paedophile ring, because they just get a whole lot of girls pregnant. They have a false social services who then take the babies and groom them. Where there's a demand, there needs to be a supply chain. And these are my girls. So I stood there and they said, we need to buy this land. And I stood at this land, what was it, 12,000 euros, I think it was. I said, come on, let's do it. So we began building. It's a heart cry for change, and all of you who invest in our lives began to do this. Click it through. And these are the girls. This little girl I've got my arm around. She watched, was it her brother be murdered by machete from the Russian mafia? And then her dad, she couldn't speak at all until she came. Slowly come, and that was a huge day that she brought me the flowers, hugged me, and would break out of that hidden place and come. That is Emma, that year on. Look at what Jesus does to people. Just flick it back and flick it forward. You can catch someone. I was actually shocked putting it up. I thought, oh wow, the grace, the stature, head up, shoulders back. Do it one more time, Helen. You can most probably pick out, see the little girl in the blue, they're so timid and broken. And there, with a red sweater around, that's the grace of God. So we went on a journey with these precious girls. God praised with an open door. Keep clicking for me. So they, after having done this, they said, we need, click it back once more, because I'll just tell you, this blonde girl, beautiful girl here, we had to really fight with the Russian mafia. And the grandmother, who, bless her heart, was a bit lost, sold her for $5,000 US. Cut a long story short, we managed to get her back. The British Embassy, I have to say, have been outstanding and have helped us. And Sharon Eason has now been awarded the BEM, the British Empire Medal of Extraordinary Award by the Queen in the honours list. So just to say, you know, God just has done stuff as we went through the door. But we then, because we were fighting this issue. I mean, you know, you do something naively and someone just taps you in the back and said, do you realise you're taking on the mafia? And we said, no idea. I think you need some help. Yes, so do I. Shall we help you and give you some advice? I think that would be necessary. We just thought we were giving sweet girls a place of refuge. So we needed to get a bus to take them to and from school to get rid of all the problems. So we bought the bus. The girls then come back to us and say, yeah, we love the bus to go to school, but then when school's not here, can we go and do something? So guess what? They say, can we go off into all the other villages in Moldova that are like ours, that don't know anything about Jesus, and go and tell them what Jesus has done for us? And here's me, you know, preacher, etc. I did not see the door of opportunity. I needed my girls to say, hello, we've got a bus, we've got whole months of holiday, we've got villages all the way through Moldova. None of our girls our age know anything about Jesus. Can we go and do with them what you've done with us? Of course. Wow. Of course I thought about that. Go ahead. So we've adapted the bus. And so this is them going out. Pictures tell their own. The other thing which is really interesting, which is because God's doing all sorts of wheels on wheels. Jill Trevor, who many of you will know. Do you remember Jill Trevor? Well, guess what? She's been working with me into Moldova, helped open all this up. So this is her having just taken King's kids out of the King's school all the way back and taken a whole group of them to Moldova to go into 7 schools in Moldova to begin to sing and show the gospel. And God's doing all sorts of stuff all over again. Yeah. So don't you think that is unbelievable how God, here we go. Yes. So it's a very strange time of wheels and wheels and all sorts of things that you think, what is that going? Well, that was Heart Cry for Change. And that's some of the back end story of what God's doing. Do you not see there are open doors that seem so little? And what was it? It was a lady called Margaret Stunt sitting with me in Sydney saying, there's a woman that I've mentored, but I now think you should do. And Helen picks her out and also realizes we bother to connect, walk through that open door of relationship. And suddenly, look, all this is going on. And then even one of your house, who you know, is now in Moldova with our kids changing the world. How does Jesus do that? Yeah, from Dunstable. Many of you would know her. And you know Sharon Eason, yeah. Isn't that how? But what I'm trying to say to you, do you understand that these open doors are profound? And I think God is going to do all sorts of things. And it's not a season of almost rocket science. It's just like, do the little that's in your hands. And God's just suddenly going to go, pfft. And it's way beyond all we can ask, think, or imagine. And we become, like, I've just become a door opener. I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. I back well out. Sharon Eason and Jill Trevor and the rest of them are now doing it. They just ask me for money. My joy. Come on, just close your eyes with me. Stand up with me for a moment. It's very hot in here. I'll give you a few minutes. I'm nearly done. But I just want us to linger in that moment for a moment. God's saying, come up here, open doors. And just that phrase, which was a bit random for me, but it's like, I want to heal the fear of heights, where you've almost gone in there and it's all gone wrong. And God's saying to you again, come up here, don't be afraid. I believe God wants to activate in this room missions and nations. God wants to activate missions and nations. And some of you have tried to do it many times, it's gone wrong and it's never quite fitted and you can't work it out. I just feel God says that this is a whole new season of shift, etc. Just ask him. Some of it might be the nations in your world, some of it might be you going to the nations and entering their world. But God's awakening that. But he's just saying for a moment, that's why, come up here. I want to show you. So Father, we just break every fear. Every fear of heights. Every fear of stepping up from being humiliated. Every fear of stepping out. We just want to ask you, release us. In this day of opportunity, release it. It's a new day. And I thank you for the door openers and the door keepers and the adventurers. Some of you are the adventurers. You're going to go all the way through and go the full scale. I found myself more and more a door opener. I open the door, I don't even know what I'm doing, and suddenly I step back and it's like, they all come back and say, we've done all this. I go, whoa. I didn't even know. I had no idea. But whatever it is, Jesus, we're ready. We're ready. And we thank you. Yeah. So just put your hand on one person next to you. Just pray for them. Just bless them. Bless them to climb the heights. Bless them to climb the mountains. Bless them to go to a new place. Bless them to see into that place. Father, we just welcome you, Holy Spirit, to wake us up to the new season. More of you, Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. More of you, Jesus. So blow in, Father. Blow. Blow away every cobweb. Go away every perception. Let us come up and see the new doors that are open. Show us the new opportunities, even the skill sets that you've been adding to us. God's been adding skill sets. You've been beginning to develop different things. And actually, those are keys to new opportunities. And he blesses you. Amen. Be seated. For God would say that this is a day for Daniels and Danielas. This is a day for Josephs and Josephines to arise. It's not so much about the gender, it's about the hallmark of call. God just said, I'm raising up whole new generations of leaders in the marketplace, government place, and social community place. And they will be leaders like Daniel and Joseph of old. Daniels or Danielas will be marked out by a supernatural intelligence and an ability to problem solve. I really believe that God's going to mark you out. And your open door of opportunity is when someone says to you, oh, I don't know what we're going to do, just can't work it out. The Daniel in you will rise up and say, I'm going to solve it. I've got it. That's mine. Some of you will do that in the practical arena. It's just like, I can fix that. I can sort that. But it's like in the spirit. It's like God's just going to raise you up and mark you out as a Daniel. And you will get a reputation like Daniel did in the last. Go to Daniel. He has supernatural intelligence. He's able to see beyond the problem, beyond the mountain, beyond the constraint, beyond the constriction. He has supernatural ability. They use a language to sort out riddles. 21st century language is to problem solve. Because I believe even as Brexit happens, come on, Brexit is an open door. Because I believe as we disconnect, that whole shifting is going to provide a whole lot of open doors. And rather than being afraid we're all going to lose the jobs, we're all down, come on, let's see with the Spirit. And I believe it's going to give us an opportunity for upgrade in the church, because everything that gets shaken can be shaken. And like with Esther, like with Daniel, like with Joseph, they were living in cultures that were godless, in difficulty, and it gave that environment, gave the opportunity for unusual leadership to stand up and point the way. Come on, let's see it with a different eye. Let's step up in our workplaces. This is a day of a new breakthrough, and there is a new anointings of the Daniel and Daniela. Supernatural intelligence to problem solve. They will understand the riddles and the complexities of the issues facing us. They will be given divine ability to sort out legal and governmental issues with a grace anointing to turn things around and still bring justice. How many would like to see some of that? Oh God, pour it out, we pray. We pray upon our generation. We pray upon our leaders. Raise up the Daniels and Danielas. We pray that you will put extraordinary anointings, and our fear would not contain it, but our faith. Come up here, said the voice like a trumpet. Wake up, shake it off. I need to talk to you so that you create the right spiritual environment. Is the greenhouse effect of the Holy Spirit so the right things will grow? Joseph, what is Joseph's? Well, I hinted at it already. Gordon works with someone. It's an ability to steward and create storehouses and serve people financially in times of hardship. These Josephs will have a divine understanding and a supernatural gifting to handle money in financial times of both plenty and few. We've had people who can handle money well when there's lots of it, but as soon as it gets hard, they don't know what to do. But Joseph had an extraordinary anointing. He could handle money both in time of famine and in time of plenty. And he knew what to do. And these men and women will use their assets and blessing and understanding to bless homes, churches, nations, communities, and literally shift economic climates. Come on, we need that philanthropic heart. And Father, we thank you for all those that are being raised up, even in London, Oxford, in many of the houses, financial wealth houses, and we pray for that philanthropic heart. We pray for Brenton. We pray for Partners in Half. We pray for these many men who are coming together, and women with them too, and just saying, God, give us a new strategy for the economy. See, there's open doors, but what opportunities? Finally, I want to finish, I think it is the final, with this thought. Something I think I first taught it actually down in Ashburn, but I just want to pick one thought. And you see, it's so important that we're rightly positioned and we're not wrestling for the wrong space, but we are wrestling for our space. Because otherwise we're fighting the wrong battle. But there is a wrestle for our inheritance. But I believe God wants to put an incredible grace, because on many of you, you don't really believe that your life has produced harvest. You're living in this sort of frozen thing of, I'm waiting to get to it. How many would say that if you're true, that's where you are? I'm waiting to get to it. Because I felt God really say to me, they don't understand that they already have incredible harvest, but they can't see it because they haven't understood the harvest they carry. And so God would say to you, learn to recognize your harvest. Learn to recognize your harvest. And I'm going to do something just quickly with you. But again, I feel if you go through these notes, you most probably, if you're the teachers and the more apostolic apostles, you need to go through this and really look at it. Because I believe this concept, certainly in my life, it has transformed me. It's taken all the stress off. I just know in my knower that if I do what Holy Spirit tells me to do today, I'm fruitful. And I have the most incredible harvest. And I don't actually have to do a lot to gain much. How? Let's look at this scripture. I hope it makes sense. Psalm 85:12. Just read it with me. Yes, the Lord pours down his blessing. Our land will yield its bountiful harvest. So, the next one. God just says this over you, yes. You see, so often over our life when we're thinking harvest, we think there's a no. Change that language. Say yes. Say with me today, yes. Yes. God pours down his blessing. My land yields harvest. There's a yes. So already you have to say yes where you've been thinking, actually, I think it's a no. If I can illustrate this very quickly, I have the privilege of working alongside quite a few organizations, one of them, the Message Trust with Andy Hawthorne. I've tracked with him for 25 years. Dave and Karen Smith with Kingsgate Peterborough, 25 years. And it was last year, both of them were 25 years, and Andy Hawthorne invited me up to the Message Trust prayer day. I was there, and I came in just as they were doing their final financial delivery or whatever, and they had raised £5.8 million in that year for service in Manchester and the UK. And if you looked at all the projects and things that they'd done, something in me just went, whoa. And I was taken back in an instant, 25 years, where Gordon and I, Andy, Michelle, Colette, and a few others, I can't remember, there were 9 of us in this room, were on our faces, pounding the floor, asking God to provide £10,000 to employ the first message worker. Now they employ 132. And of those 102 workers, they had raised, by entrepreneurial spirit, fundraising, and just sponsorship, 0.6 million of that 5.8 million. So the workers themselves had raised 600,000 plus doing all the work. And if you know the Message guys, they work. And I was just there listening to all this, and I thought, wow, 25 years. Look what dear Andy, Michelle, the tracking, the prayer, the thing. And I got in my car. And I can't say I was condemning myself, but I was reflective. There was part of me that just said, God, have I missed something? Because I've been 25 years on the journey. Heart cry for change. I've done a lot. I've got relationships, but I haven't got a big office. I haven't employed a lot of people. I do employ some people. Did I just miss the boat? Did I just drop out? Was there a door of opportunity that I ducked and dived instead of walking through? Have I not had the faith that I've prayed for others? And then I thought of Dave and Karen Smith, who I've walked with them for 25 years and prophesied, buy the land, and they did, and they've now got a, I don't know, £5-6 million building on there, built their church from which was about 300, 600, 900. Now it's about 1,800. And with a church in Leicester and London and Cambridge. And I thought, you know, all these people, I've shouldered with them, prayed with them, birthed with them. And I know you put big things in my heart. I see it, but I can't touch and hold it. Did I bottle it? Anyone of you ever have conversations like that? So did I bottle it? So this, I get home, go to bed, wake up in the morning, and I'm going, running up the back of my house at the top of where I live in Oxford. And suddenly I looked across and there was this massive field, what I call, you know, really beautiful field, ready for harvest. And I was fascinated because it was a massive combine harvester was in there, and it was a new one that I liked because it made proper cube ones and it was putting them out. So the round ones that roll everywhere. And I was fascinated with this new one. I thought, the scientist control freak in me liked it. It's nice and cube or go square in piles. And I was watching it and I felt God say to me, that's a real harvest. I said, yeah, that's real. He said, why? And I'm like, what do you mean, why? Of course that's a real harvest. Look at that combine harvester. He said, but why? Why is that your real harvest? Why is it the big fields with thousands and the big wheat fields and that? Why is that the real abundant harvest? I said, well, I suppose Reinhardt days. Every time we saw harvest, it was always a big field with everything coming down. That's harvest, God. He said, no, it isn't. Look to your left. This year, this is the abundant harvest. And so he took me on a walk. And in 5 minutes, I just kept taking pictures. So it's a bit boring if you don't like berries. But literally, this was the hedgerows of every type of berry. It was insane. And I promise you, it's less than 5 minutes walk along these hedges. He said, just take every berry. And he said, blackberries. Then I jumped in my car because I was going off something, and my car was on Oxford radio because I was listening to the mad traffic. And at that point, the sort of DJ of Oxford radio said, and now, girls, get off your butts. And I'm sorry, this is how I was talking. Get off your butts and get out there in the hedgerows. This year, the bumper crop is in the hedgerows. You might think the wheat fields are looking great, but actually all the farmers are saying it's a real average year. We didn't get the rain at the right time, so actually the price for wheat is not great. But blackberries, that's another story, girls. It is the top bumper crop. Now, if you want blackberry and apple pie, you need those blackberries. No one likes a lot of crust and no blackberries. You've got no excuses, girls. Get out there. Pick your blackberries. And I'm like, what is this on? And I know Holy Spirit is in here, but I still can't get it. So now it's Friday. I get in the car. Gordon and I are going up to Battelle in Birmingham. We're doing a weekend with them. It's Friday night. I hate the traffic going up there. So I said to Gordon, let's go early. Then at least we can just get a drink. And we did. We got there early ahead of the hell of Friday night. As I walk in, this young girl walks in. And she said, oh, I'm so glad you're early. I'll get to see you with my kids before I take them over to the windmill, the farm where all the kids go to play. So I said, why? You know, in my head I'm going, why is that important? She's, oh, no, I'm sorry, I must tell you this story. She said, 7 years ago, we were about to get married, and you and Gordon came and did a weekend. She said, I'm a crack cocaine heroin addict that's been saved born again. I was in the sex trade. I have got nothing that works on the inside of me. But I really had asked God, would you trust me to have a baby now that I'm saved? Because I have had one hell of a life. But if you could trust me to give me a baby, I would love the privilege to steward someone for the next generation. She said, my husband was a heroin addict, and he'd done all sorts of stuff to himself, so we were both pretty shocked. I mean, they're pretty blunt. I love them. And they're just like, we had nothing really working, but you and Gordon, without knowing that we were getting married the next day, just came behind us and prayed for us that God would make us fruitful, that he would give us children. And we just didn't even know that that was possible. She said, so we didn't use any contraception, anything else, and this is our first blackberry. She was born 10 months later. She said, then I wanted another one because I knew I wanted children. So I asked my, because they live in a house and they're not allowed to travel. So she said it was 2 years later. I wanted another child. So I asked the responsible of my house, could you please find out where Rachel Hickson's preaching? I need to go and get my next baby. So bless her, she booked in, and it happened to be the renewal center with Carr, what's his name? Huh? David Carr, the Solly Renewal Centre. I was doing the ladies' conference there. And she booked in there, came with her responsible, got prayed for. She said, this is blackberry number two. And she said, then I thought, well, maybe we've done it. But she said, then you came and did the Cymru last time. The power of God was so strong. looked at my husband. So they've got a 7-year-old, 5-year-old. And she said, we just knew that we need another one. You prayed for us, and here's number 3. We've got 3 blackberries. And I'm like, why in the world did you call them blackberries? She said, oh, I'm really sorry. Actually, it's just our love language. We always say, let's make love and have a blackberry. God spoke to me and said, Rachel, many people have built churches, empires, got budgets of 6-7 million, got houses that think. Church leader, I always wanted to be a church leader of a phenomenal church, which is in its thousands. I just love the thing. Watch my daughter do it amazingly, but it was never given to me. And sometimes we think, well, that's going to be my harvest, but actually I've stewarded and helped so many other people do it. But actually God said, it's not your harvest, but it is by default. But what's mine? And he said, actually yours, Rachel, is blackberries. Then that week, carry on, Helen, in California, and this woman came up to me. She said, 2 years ago, you did a conference called Selah. This is Selah. It's impossible for me to have a child. This is my child, blackberry number 3. The next weekend, someone came and said, this is Judah, our blackberry, just been born. Absolutely impossible for me to have children. I just had a baby boy. Then I went to Norway the following weekend. Can I show you a baby? And God just showed me blackberry after blackberry. And he said, Rachel, your harvest is blackberries. Come on, what's yours? What is yours? And the amazing thing was, I've been praying for people to have children for years, and usually I don't find. But suddenly over 2 weeks, it's like everyone was just sending me a picture, randomly on purpose. Come on, I'll begin to ask God randomly on purpose to begin to awaken. Because I absolutely guarantee that every life here has an annual harvest, your bread harvest, fresh bread. It has a decade harvest, your oil harvest, your wine, new wine. And it has your oil harvest, your generational 40 years. Olive presses take about 40 years to really decade wine, bread, annual. Do you get what I mean? There's something that you produced each year. There's something that you produce each decade. How many of you know every decade there's a shift? Decade is a new wine. Oil is 40. It's generational. Oil is the 40 generational. I said it the wrong way around. Wine is a decade. 8 to 10 years from rootstock to fruit. Except we've got it cultivated. But if you really start from seed to fruit, it's 8 to 10 years to get. And the same weird thing. So come on, how many of you got a harvest? Or how many of you need to go away and think about it? There you are. Here's some summer homework for you. Go away with Holy Spirit and ask him. Because you see, when all is said and done, if you have served a pie and it's called blackberry pie and there's no blackberry, you'll send it back. Do you get what I mean? There's far more to the kingdom of God than just a big evangelism or a big church or a big this or a big that. And we've got very locked into what harvest looks like, and then we beat ourselves up as the body of Christ. But there is no one who is infertile and has done nothing. Amen. And all of us are producing something annually in the decade and in our generational flow. But usually we can't see it because we've got the wrong picture. And suddenly, I have found it the most releasing thing in my life. Just do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And I know I am a fruitful vine. I have harvest around me. But I think a lot of our call, you've got a call on you, you've got a purpose on you, you've got to do this, you've got to change the world, etc. And so we get a fixed picture of what that looks like. And then we feel disappointed. But actually, it's the body of Christ that's going to do all of that. And we've all got a part to play. Do you get what I'm trying to do here? And I tell you, when we get into it, it's so releasing. Permission to be weird. Yes. So finally. God wants to give you a new fluency and variety in this season. And I'm literally going to say this. You can almost just go through the PowerPoints. God began to speak to me about the best of five. I've got all the nutritional stuff. You need to eat five a day, five a day, five a day. And then they suddenly began to say, it's not any five a day. You need to eat a variety of five a day. Five bananas is not good enough. You have to have a banana, a broccoli, a tomato, and thing. And suddenly you think, no, I'm quite happy. And now you've got to eat, remember, the full colour. When you look at your plate, is there the colour there? And you think, for crying out loud, can you just leave me alone? I just want burger and chips or whatever it is. But the whole of our culture is very much into five-a-day variety fluency. So next one. And then God said this. He said, I've given you five a day. Yes. And I've given you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And it's their responsibility as the five different complementary gifts to work together to equip you, build you up, do his work, and make you mature as a healthy body. So God's given us five a day to make us strong and healthy. But most of us, we have our particular like. We're the prophetic bananas or whatever, and we only eat bananas because we only like the prophetic taste. And God wants to give you some broccoli of the pastor over here, and you think, he can keep his broccoli, I don't eat broccoli. Do you get what I'm saying? But God has said, for you to grow up and be efficient, you need variety and fluency thing. So my question to you at the end of the day in all this sort of harvest is, where is the apostolic, prophetic, pastoral, teacher vegetable in your life? Who is feeding you apostolically with wisdom, strategy, helping you take it? Who's feeding you prophetic? If you're in a church that's prophetic, that's not difficult. But where's the teacher, theology, principles, training, discipline coming? The teacher said, no, actually, great idea, not biblical. You think, poo, I like that thought. Where's the pastor who's saying, yeah, all those ideas are great, but your marriage looks a bit like hell rather than heaven. Can we help you? You see, we need to expand our communication beyond our personal preference in our spiritual life. And we all have personal preferences. Would you agree? How many would say you like the prophetic in this house? That is your go-to one. How many would say the pastor? Gordon. A few there. The pastor. How many would say the teacher? You first. No, but your first preference, if you could choose your number one, say, I am teacher. Yeah, interesting. Evangelist. And it's a bit mean because it's seasonal, and I get that. But all I'm trying to say, it's just a bit of a wake-up to say to you, have you got stuck only eating five bananas a day? And for you to really flourish and even increase in your harvest, do you need to look for your five a day? God's given you five a day to help you grow. And if there's areas of you where you've just got stuck, where you think, I'm not growing, I'm not flush, begin to think, actually, what do I need in my life? Father, which sound am I lacking to help me grow in this season? Because I believe God wants to help you grow up. Does that make sense? Look for the people in your life. Look for the sound in your life. Look for the people who are influencing your life. Doesn't have to be every day. But I would say certainly in a period of a month and definitely in a period of 3 months, you should have had that sound through your life. Every day might be, you know, I'm just taking a thing. But certainly, if you haven't had those sounds in your life building into you in a month, then 3 months down the road, you're most beginning to think, actually, I feel really vulnerable, insecure, etc. Maybe you just have needed a pastor. Do you get what I'm saying? So, pretty well finished. Is that done, Helen? Oh. That's it. So come, Holy Spirit. I've been really mean to you. Because I have literally, most probably about 6, 7, 8 different concepts But I know you're a prophetic house, so you can take weight. That's why I've done it. Loads and loads of stuff. So just sit in his presence for a bit. If there's anyone who knows exactly what should be done, come. Helen, if Gordon, if you've got it. Whoever, come. But just gurgitate. It's wrestling season. He's irritating you to show you open doors. He's giving you opportunities. How are you going to respond to those opportunities? You have got a harvest. Some of you, that would be my homework for you. Go and look back and begin to remember. Say, yeah, that was very fruitful. That's very fruitful. Then look what grew from that. Because the little things you may have in your hand, you think, well, these are just blackberries. But look what grows from it. God wants to blow on you. He wants to awaken a strategic dreamer in you. A strategic dreamer. You've got a lot of prophetic word, you've got a lot of stuff, but I want to awaken the dreamer. In fact, it was something we just did when we were away with the Scottish girls. And Emma actually challenged us. We've been talking and she said, I'm going to challenge you, some of you. And she said, come on, dream. And so we were chatting. And I said, how much? She said, I don't know. She said, let's make it 100. She said, I like to do 100 dreams. So over your summer break, write down 100 dreams that you carry. You think, good grief, I haven't got that. No, but what it's done for me, as I began to do it, is it gave me space for all my little ones. Like we're going on holiday. It's funny, I just began to think, I wrote down 20 dreams. It's like I've lived in Oxford 12 years and there's one place that we drive back always on my way. It's beautiful, just tucked in. And I've said to Gordon Lean every time, I want to go there and have a meal. I've never done it. That's on my list. You might think, that's not very spiritual. But you see, there's so many things in our world. I'm giving you 100 dreams to awaken the little things, the practical things that just like, it might be a big thing, I want to go to New Zealand. But a lot of my things were actually, as I thought about, I've always wanted to go to Wimbledon. That went on my list. Very spiritual, that's what I thought. Now I want to actually go. I want to go to Wimbledon. That's what I'm saying. There are things inside of us that are random and thing. But it's the dreamer. It's the awakening. It's those things that you find yourself saying, one day I will do. Stop it. Write it down. And now be strategic about it. And begin to tick them off. I will go to India and see a mission. I will travel. I'll do this. I don't know what they are, but I want you to do 100 dreams. I don't mind how long it takes you. But I awaken the dreamers in you. The dreamers that dream of the little life. The dreamers that build the big life. The dreamers of hard harvest. Some of those that said, I'm going to take over the world. I'm going to see miracles happen, things that. But actually, I want to see this. I want to go to Wimbledon, etc., etc. I just feel that God wants to waken up something. And as you do the little and large, the vast, the simple thing, something's going to wake up in you and you're going to realize the incredible harvest. Because there are dreamers in this room. Hamish, wake it up. Wake it up. So many things. Because you see, it's going to break the power of regret. It's going to break the power of regret. And you begin to articulate things and give yourself permission to say, actually, I want. It was so funny when we were talking, something came out, I want to go to Wimbledon. And everyone's like, really? Yeah, I've always thought about it. And I thought, yeah, actually, that's true. I've always, every time I watch it, think, I want to go. Is that a spiritual dream? I think, well, at least it's one out of 100. But I've begun to find it fascinating. It's begun to make me ruminate. It's begun to make me think, oh, I dream. I'm going to preach with Nicola. And we're going to see something happen. I've begun to carry that. I've got a dream. I don't know where it's going to happen. I think it'll be in Australia. But Nicola, I'm going to do something, and something of the power of God is going to shift and happen, and that is one of my dreams in the presence of God. I'm going to preach with my girl. What are your dreams? What are those things that you've carried, and it's time? Because you see, this is a day of opportunities and open doors. Awake, O dreamer. And I break the lie that says I haven't been fruitful, that I haven't reproduced that which I should have, that I've always been a disappointment, it's never come together. I break disappointment. It's funny, I feel it over the men so much. Maybe I don't minister sort of in a place where I felt so much on the men in, as in this place, that there is something that needs to break off you precious men. Because I'm actually used to ministering in a place where the men are pretty strong, aren't they? And so, for me, it's just like, come on, what is on you, precious young men? You are outstanding, incredible, amazing. Wake it up. Everything that's come against to shut you down. Yeah. It's time for you to just enjoy life to the full because he loves you. For many of you, precious men.
I just think we should stand up and head up and shoulders back, as I often hear Rachel say. Let's just stand up, and I think let's close our eyes and let's just look up to heaven. And I think we just need to make some declarations and just declare, Father. Now, come on. Father.
Father.
It's a new day.
It's a new day.
It's a new day.
And you have called us to fruitfulness.
We declare Omega over the last season.
It is finished.
We put to bed all that past disappointment.
All the discouragement and distractions.
And we declare that I am born for fruitfulness.
I am born for
fruitfulness. We are born for fruitfulness.
We are born for fruitfulness.
We are not second class.
We are not second class.
We are sons and daughters of the King.
We are sons and daughters
of the King. And we love it.
And we love it.
And we thank you for the power of God.
We thank you for the power of God.
That is opening up wells within us.
Spring up a well
within me,
within
us,
within this region.
Let the heavens open in this place, and let the earth give forth that release. Amen. So, Father, I want to pray a blessing on every man, every woman, every family. I pray such a sense of liberty. I pray that shackles will be broken off. I pray, Lord, that chains will be broken off. Family things will be broken off. History will be broken off. We declare it is a new day. It's a new landscape. We thank you, Father, that you are doing something. This is a convergence of time. We declare it. This is a convergence of time. Something is shifting right now. It's shifting right now. We declare it. We thank it. It is shifting right now. We're moving in to a new time. And we thank you, Father, that we can have our heads up, shoulders back. There is a presence of heaven which is coming down. You've taught us how to be in heaven. Now, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth. I pray, Father, that we will see remarkable shift in the landscape around us, the work that we do every day, the relationships we have every day. I pray there will be a new sense of being shepherded into a new season of relationships and fertile harvest. I thank you for the incredible place you've put us, with so many thousands who are desperately hungry to know God, sick and tired of religion, but desperate to know God. Give us eyes to see in a new way. Lord, I thank you that it is a completely new landscape. Help us to see these people just with one comment that can just say, this is how you connect. This is how you connect. This is how you connect. We pray for such a sense of joy in the harvest field. Father, tonight I also want to break off some of the lies that we are stuck with. The lies that we are stuck with pain, stuck with sickness, stuck with financial instability, insecurity, lack. Father, we break those wicked lies. We declare that we are people of health, people of blessing. We break off those deceptive thoughts that we have to live with this imprisonment. I break it off, every person here tonight. I break off the ill health, the lies of having to walk through this. Father, in Jesus' name, we declare a blessing physically on each person, each family, a blessing on their finances, that they will see something shifting as they open up different wells, supernatural wells of funding. And Father, I pray such a blessing on relationship. Let there be such a shift physically, financially, relationally, mentally, Lord, in every realm. We thank you, Father. Walk us through this time. Walk us through this time. Let us carry the presence of God to those around us. That we will be carriers of hope, carriers of light. Just lift your face to heaven and just drink it in. If anyone is thirsty, come and drink. Yes. Father, we come and drink. Jesus, we come and drink. Spirit, fill us to overflowing. Be filled.
So, Father, activate. Activate our thinking. Just breathe in us, Jesus. Activate. Activate our processing and our thinking. I just pray for the how-tos that we need to move from where we are to where we know we need to go. We're asking you to activate strategic thinking for us. Yes. Shift us. With definite, precise instruction. I pray that you'd upgrade dreams and vision, but also just friendly encounter and instruction. I pray that you'd put people alongside us to be instructors. Activate. I really just feel that it's going to be such a season of, I could just hear it, people just going, oh, I get it. This is that, this is that, this is that. And God, we just welcome that, this is that season. When Peter stood up and he just looked and said, oh, this is that that was prophesying. We're just asking for that, this is that season now. And the other thing I felt so strongly as I was preaching was the awakening of the dreamers. So that you can see your doors of opportunity. Like me in Moldova, I had no real idea, but I just did simply what I did. And suddenly, boom, I don't know how many years it is now, 6-7 years, so much has opened I can't even show you. And I just wonder if maybe you can get into groups of 2, maybe 3. Just turn to someone. Don't have to be next to you. Go find them if they're somewhere else in the room. But just pray for them. And if there's someone, either to activate their dreams or just because you know that there's someone who sharpens you, go find them and just say, Father, just begin to sharpen us. Help us. Wake it up. Because I just feel that there's people here. You just need to find someone. Just pray for them. Bless them. Wake up that dream. Wake it up, Lord. We just pray for a whole new waking up. Prophesy to each other. Pray to each other. Find someone. Just go find them. If musicians want to play, you feel that's your space, you need to do that, you do that. If you don't feel to play, that's fine. But sometimes people just think, ah, I do this through music. I need my instrument. I need my thing. Do it. It's fine. You feel free. But just find someone. If you don't like that particular parameters to pray, that's fine. Just pray for something. Pray for that open heaven. But just ask God to do something.